Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Israel actually got to a place, and they were out here, and they got to a good place. And they had great abundance. They had cattle. They were eating steak. I mean, they were sacked. Anybody ever got to the place where things were just going real good? I mean, on the journey, you know, sometimes you might not make it to the promised land, but on the way, things just seemed to be real good. Along the way, they had great cattle before they actually arrived. Hadn't gotten there completely yet, but they got to a place that had, they were in somewhat, they had abundance. There was abundance there. Well, you know, church people get that way sometimes. You ever met people? Some people, I mean, they will always be appreciative. They will always be grateful. No matter how much they get or how little they have. But some people, man, you give them $20 and boy, they got their nose up in the air. You ever heard the thing you say, can you stand to be blessed? Can you stand to be blessed? Look at somebody and say, are you one of those people that can stand to be blessed? Or are you going to get blessed and get ugly? Come on. Well, it's the truth. Have you ever seen it before? I mean, we're in this thing for the long haul. And this goes along with the message of weariness. In that we have a responsibility not to wear each other out, but to encourage one another. And we had a prophetic word months ago that this was a ministry, not of discouragement, but a ministry of encouragement. A ministry that will tell somebody they can do it no matter what. But we're going to learn one way that the enemy comes at people. It comes at the body of Christ, comes at the living of God, and people can be a discouragement and not know it. Some people think you don't have to say anything out of your mouth. You don't have to say a word out of your mouth. But your actions sometimes may discourage the entire body of Christ. And we're going to find one area of discouragement here. So here we got these people, they had lots of cattle, they got to a great place that would have suited them just fine. And in chapter 32, verse 5, wherefore they said, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession, and bring us not over to Jordan. He said, listen, we don't need to go all the way, Moses. We got lots of cattle, and this is a good place for us to hang right here. I can make it right here. This place, this little season that we're in right now, will support me and everything I've got going on. And I don't need to go on for the big vision. I can stop right here. Anybody ever met people like that? Anybody ever seen it? I mean, how many ever seen? You know, ministries can get that way, and churches can get that way. They'll get just a little bit, just enough to say, hey, we're successful. We haven't got the whole nation yet. You know, we haven't really made an impact on the total community yet, but I got 500 or 400. It's just enough. We can camp out right here and be fine till Jesus comes. There is a lot of camp out mentality. So they said, listen, we don't need to go all the way over to the other side. We don't have to have the same vision that everybody else had. We're fine with what we got. We can make it just the way we are. We don't need this big revival that everybody's talking about. Hey, we got it going on right now. Some people sit up there, you know, they come to messages and they hear the word of faith preached. They hear the word of God preach about abundance and prosperity. And the people that probably got nothing in their pocket at that moment, they're really hungry and eating up every morsel of it. But somebody's got a little bit of money in their pocket. They say, well, I've had this before. I really don't need it. It's not important to me. He's already got what I need. Well, this is one of the things that they said. They said, listen, we got lots of cattle that God has blessed us with, and we're at a place where our cattle can survive right here. There is no reason for us to go on with everybody else. We can stop right here. Do you see that in the Word? And Moses, he said, now listen, if we found grace in your sight, if that's all right with you, I think we'll just stop right here. If that's all right with you. I see that all the time as a pastor. Pastor, I got my house, I think I'll just stop right here. Pastor, I got my healing, I'll just stop right here. Pastor, my family's put back together again, I'll just stop right here. Pastor, I got my new car, I just think I'll stop right here. Pastor, I got my little Bible study, I think I'll just stop right here. Pastor, my little business is going really well, I think I'll stop right here. We got all kind of business going on. I got this. I think we'll just camp out right here. I don't have to have this. See, when I didn't have anything, we were really believing in faith together, really standing. You know, we knew it took God. But I got to the point to where, hey, it's all right now. We can just stop right here. And they said, if we found grace in your sight, we just want to know if that'll be all right with you, Moses. Is it going to be all right with you? Everything will be real fine. Moses turned around and looked at them. And said unto the children of Gad and unto the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and you sit here? Look at somebody and say, shall your brothers go to war and you just sit here? You know, they said, no, this would be a good place. Moses didn't think that was too cool, did he? Moses didn't think that was too hip. Even though they would have been all right, just they had their stuff taken care of. And they had reached their stuff, but not everybody had gotten there yet. And Moses said, would it be right for everybody else to go to war to get what belongs to them and you just sit here and watch it go on? Moses didn't think that was so cool. And you know what? Neither do I. If I got to fight, you got to fight. How long do I have to fight? Do I have to continue to fight even though I get everything God has promised me? Yes! If God's promised me this and God's promised me that, does that mean the battle is over? No! You got to go to war until every one of his seed has grabbed a hold of what God promised them. Because you're not an island unto yourself and you're not all by yourself. Come on. There is a spirit, and I'm glad we're preaching it in this holiday season, but there is a strong spirit of selfishness. And the body of Christ calls us to be selfless, to where we esteem others greater than ourselves. We got to realize that Jesus loves us, but he's got a whole lot of children out there. And you can't constantly get over about my stuff, me, us four, and no more. You know, somebody say, who's going to eat with you? Me, myself, and I. And sometimes Christians think that's all right. When God is concerned, it's not all right. Why do I have to pay for everybody else? I work so hard. I do this. I don't care. There is something in God's eyes. When you join the body of Christ, you pick up everybody's battle. That means when Nations Church is done all that it can do to support itself and to be all that God wants it to be, and we see somebody else with an anointing and with a call and with a ministry, we have not arrived until they've arrived. We're going to pull in together. Don't you turn your car off until everybody's parking. Hey, war's not over. Don't you put your gun down just because you found a foxhole. And it says, wherefore, discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them. They didn't say anything. They didn't say, you can't take it, you can't win it, you can't have it. They just said, listen, You go over and take it by yourself. We'll wait over here. Telling me that I can do it ain't gonna cut it. I had enough of that. I've had some big boys and some strong ones say, oh, glory to God. You can take it. God's gonna move. That's really nice. But until you pick up your gun, your weapon, your sword of the Spirit, your faith, your finances, your action, your time, your ability, your resources, and go with me, that's not an encouragement until you do it yourself. Talk is cheap. And we got a body of Christ that's filled with nothing but a bunch of talk, and we need to turn some of that talk into some walk. Why don't you stop talking so much and do a little bit of walking? Then you can stand, and why don't you stand with me? That's what God is talking about in this final age and in this final hour. And that's the thing that's going to allow the body of Christ to stand up and be everything that God said it could be. But there's a lot of phony stuff going on. I went to Bible school, and you go to Bible school, you go out here and you hear the great evangelists, you hear these great people telling you to go take the world, and you hear all those things. Woo, thank you, Jesus, I can be a conqueror. I just jump out on the water and run by faith. And you hear all this other stuff. You think we're in this thing together. You go, wah! And you get out there in the middle of it. You say, where did everybody go? We didn't sing the song, let's go take this city. Everybody clapping and singing and dancing. You jump out of the hole, and everybody's drinking tea. Moses, would that be all right with you? Don't discourage the people like that. Don't discourage the people. And let me tell you one. You can't discourage somebody from going anywhere that's already that has no courage. You can't discourage somebody that has no courage. But when you see people with great courage, don't discourage them and nullify their faith and nullify their confidence by you sitting back and hiding. You better come out strong, arm in arm, and stand with him. And you're going to find out that mentality when you see a great man of faith, and you see somebody of great ability, and somebody of strong faith, and somebody of confidence. God says to stand with them. Don't stand against them, but stand with them strong in the faith. And you're going to find out when you don't, God calls it sin. Now we look at the word discouraged. We're going to get our courage. We're not going to be weary and doing well. But we're going to be an encouragement. God's already told us what we should do. I'm excited and refreshed and renewed. And I'm not going to lose my intensity after everything is taken care of. I'm already looking for ways to help somebody else. I'll do it this time and then I'll do it again. I refuse to get up there and make it to the top and then look at everybody else and say, I had to scratch my way and I want to see you start scratching too. That's a shame. And say the love of God dwells and abides within you. You better read your Bible. Jesus did it, didn't he? Jesus said this. Listen, Jesus didn't have that mentality. Jesus came down here and defeated the devil, won the war, and then he said it was finished. His battle was finished, but yours had almost just begun, and then he sent his own spirit back to make sure that you make it over. He could have said, I did it, now you do it. But he did it, and he sent his own spirit, and spirit represents the courage or the life or the rapha or the power of the individual. He sent his strength back. Pull me on with you. And these are the people that God is raising up in these final hours. People are not concerned, this is mine and that's yours. We're claiming a second chapter of Acts church. They're saying, that's mine, this one's mine, that one's yours, this is it, that's how it cuts down. We're getting out of that mentality and getting over into God's mentality. And there's a mentality that abides within the body of Christ that discourages the hearts of those that are meant to stand up and fight strong. And he said, wherefore do you discourage? When you sit on your butt and you don't do nothing. Well, I'm not causing no mess. No, you're a discouragement, the Bible says. You don't have to run your mouth and start a bunch of strife. You just sitting there like a bump on the log. That's a discouragement. My mama used to say that when she cleaned house. I mean, you couldn't sit in my house when mama cleaned. Or if your sister had to do the dishes, you sat there and watched TV, you were going to have a wet rag on the back of your head. Don't just sit there and sip coffee and I'm up here hustling. Amen? Oh, no. Well, that's what the body of Christ wants to do today. They said the preacher's got it. The evangelist has got it. This one's got it. You better get up. You better stop that sin. I'm just waiting on the Lord. You better get your, you know. It's not discouraging the armies of God. Get with it. Nothing like being around a bunch of slow people. Slow, droopy, dreary. Won't that depress you? I just think we can make it, you know. Wouldn't it like you just see, I just believe we can all do it. You know, wouldn't it be great you got a football team, you know, get out there and, you know, they get to the finish line. They're bringing the football teams, you know, the football team run out to the field. And one team runs out there all energetic. We can do it. We can do it. Other team, come on out. Lord. Ooh, hold on. Let me sit here for a minute. Hold on, when they call my number, I'll be right there. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We can do it. Amen. Then all of a sudden they get up, they one shoe on, one shoe off, and get out there. Here we go. And you know all your teammates see you say, that's our quarterback. You're not going to do it. Just look like it. Act like you're excited about doing what God wants you to do. He said, don't be weary in, you know, just don't be weary in doing. He said, don't be weary in doing well. The way that you do those things, the way that you handle your ministry, the way that you handle your call, the way that you lead worship, the way that I preach, the way that you answer the phone, the way that you clean the church, the way that you witness, the way that you sow your offerings, the way that you do those things, do it with joy and do it with a smile on your face that you might not discourage others. That's how you defeat the power of weariness. I'm doing it because nobody else will. I'm just tired of seeing these old dirty dishes. Let me get over here and wash it. Trifling people in this church. There's a responsibility. The way that we serve. When you run into somebody else that's doing the same job as you, they should encourage you by saying, glory to God. It might be rough, but it's going to be all right. Jesus said the will of God was for Jesus to come and die. The will of God was come, suffer, and die. And Jesus said, okay, I'm delighted to do thy will. He had a good attitude about it. Somebody say, attitude check. Attitude will always reflect your altitude of how far you go in the spirit. And you can tell where somebody is in the spirit by their attitude. Oh, my Lord. They say, I'm just full of the spirit. You got a nasty attitude. I know which spirit you're dealing in. You can tell where somebody is. Somebody said, oh, I'm full of faith and full of power and walking slow. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God quickens us. He will quicken your mortal body. It'll raise you up and put some pep in your step and cause you to become excited. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It's just not something down on the inside of your spirit, but it's on the inside. And sooner or later, it starts to work on the outside. Don't weary the people. Well, what happens when we weary the people? You're just sitting around, moping, looking sad, depressed. Taking up space, it's a sin. It's a sin. They think they're doing God a favor. Better repent. I'm here by the Holy Ghost to tell you, your lazy butt needs to get up and get going. Or you're going to be held accountable before God for discouraging the people. So I've learned that Jesus Christ is your source. Amen. Bible says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You go to some other people when you're heavy laden and weary. Good Lord, who knows what they'll give you? They'll give you their problem. I mean, you'll start to get into the thing. Well, is that what happened to you? Well, guess what happened to me? I can top that. Well, guess, you know, you're in there. That's your problem. Well, guess how much my bill is. I can top that. But, you know, you could say that on Sunday morning sometime. You'd be all excited about coming to church, and all you got to do is open the office window and look out the door. And by the time you hear the first note of the song, you done worn yourself out. There they come. Happy to be here. I mean, you should see the saints. Oh, when the saints come marching in. I mean, come in any kind of way. You know what that is? The devil. They didn't got a bad day. They didn't got a bad attitude. They didn't got this. And the devil's using them. And we have to watch this. The devil can use us, and we don't even know it. The devil is using them to discourage the people of God. I mean, you didn't get mad over toast. And somebody else comes to the house of God to find out that they can make it another day. And just because your toast burned. Too much sin. Too much sin. Why is it sin? Anything that discourages the people from being what God wants them to be, doing what God told them to do, and becoming what God told them to become, anything that would distract them or to deter them from that is the devil. You don't have to preach. You don't have to sing to be one of his missionaries. You can be like the people when they were trying to count the votes. Stop it! Stop it! Saints are like that sometimes. People don't like to hear that, but it's true. And Numbers chapter 32, verse 10. And because of this, he said, listen, go to 8. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from this other place to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. My Lord. And then he said, and the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came out of Israel from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which the Lord swore unto Abraham. Oh, my Lord. Unto Isaac, unto Jacob, because they have not holy. There are two kinds of holy. The holy roller. Thank God for that. You got to be holy without sin. But there's another kind of holy. W-H-O-L-L, holy. When you don't do things with all of your heart and holy, it just angers God. He don't work like that. It says it right here. For they have not holy. We got a lot of halfway. Half and half saints. Get halfway to the promised land. You're part of Nations Church. You're going to be a holy part of Nations Church. You're going to be here until we get our 20,000 people. You're not going to conk out at 20. You're not going to conk out at 50. You're not going to conk out at 70. Something. You're going to go with us all the way. Holy. You don't get tired halfway around the road. You ain't done nothing yet to even be tired for. Sit up there and clap your hands and sing a couple of songs, and all of a sudden you're ready to have a nervous breakdown. Give me a break. Then somebody told me, I'm just burnt out. No, they told my mother that. Said, I'm just burnt out. I can't do anything else. I'm just stressed out. I'm just burnt out. I have nothing else to give. My mother said, you ain't burnt out. You've never been on fire. You know, it's usually the ones they never burnt anything. They never done anything. Holler about being burnt out. I mean, you never even been on fire. Big old wet blanket claiming that they burnt out. Can't even roll up out of the bed on time, but burnt out. You better give me a break. And how many ever seen it? You ain't even been on fire yet. I'm just burnt out. I can't make it. Ooh, it's so hard. Oh, Jesus. I had to go to church this morning. Oh. And then Sunday night, even though the whole day's the Lord's day. Holy. Follow the Lord. There's no exceptions. Whatever he says, you do it with all of your heart, period, point blank. And when you don't, you get in trouble. Holy. Now, when you get the word holy, the Hebrew word is mala. Mala. Wamele. And guess how they spell that word? This is going to help you remember the word holy. M-A-L-E. Somebody say, you better take it like a man. Holy means male. Like the word male, it's spelled like the word male. I don't think that's the meaning of it, but you can look at it in that sense. We got too many women. There's nothing wrong with women, but women type Christians. People run ministry just like some very, nothing wrong with women. They give, they're the weaker vessel at, you know. But you know what? We need to see men of God today. When you see churches coming together, a bunch of women stuck together holding the church together, and the men are acting like spiritual sissies. It's the truth. Spiritual sissies. That's exactly what I got at that. You better stand in faith like a man and don't you budge. Amen. Go to war like a man. Take off the fingernail polish. Men sitting up there worshiping God in fingernail polish and pantyhose. You better take it off and put on some combat boots. That's the truth. You let it go any little bit of inconvenience. I might get my nails dirty. I might get my toes dirty. Come on, this is a spiritual fight. You better stand up like, fight like a man. Holy. And finish it. But I don't think I can do it. Ain't no girls' team. It's tight, but it's right. He might call us the bride of Christ, but the bride of Christ fights like a man. Say, she's a woman. But she fights like a man. That's what God is doing in this last day. We ain't gonna win no war like that. Refuse to pray. Refuse to stand. Refuse any form of opposition or persecution. You're gonna be strong. It's, and that word, well, it means to be full of. Holy means to be full, constantly full. We figured out that one way that we will not run weary is to constantly draw from the Spirit of Christ Jesus. You might have the right attitude to do it one day, but one day, guess you what, your attitude will change. You're just not going to feel like it. But Jesus always feels like it. He's always ready, and He never wearies, and He never tires. You'll get tired, your flesh will give out, and you got to learn when to turn it over to Him. But the holy person is someone that's totally full all the time. They're not like the virgins that ran out of oil. They always had more than enough. It also means to flow. They were with the flow of God at all times. They were in sync with God. They wholly followed the Lord. They were in the flow of God's Spirit at all times. That's what it means to wholly follow God. How would I wholly follow God? What is God saying today? What is the Spirit of God doing over our area? I got to get into the flow of that. And that's how we wholly follow God, to catch every wave. And when the anger of God is a merciful God, but some things tick Him off. Verse 13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and He made them wander in the wilderness 40 years. Either you wholly follow God with all of your heart, you can't follow God halfway. Halfway is a ticket to the wilderness. All the way or no way. It's the truth. That's just, I mean, you can try to halfway step it, but you won't get lost. I mean, He say, jump it. Do it. Just, you got to pace yourself with God. And there are a lot of people that don't know where they are today in the Spirit of God. They don't know where they are in their ministry. They don't know where they are in their life. Why? Because they're constantly half-stepping this and half-stepping that. And they get out there and say, where did everybody go? Lost. Why? Because Jesus was double-stepping it. And they were half-stepping. And by the time they opened up their eyes, He's way down the road. And they're stuck out there in the middle of nowhere. Where did everybody go? Left to wander in the wilderness because of half-stepping. What becomes the wilderness? You know, God takes you through the wilderness, but He is the light that gets you out of it. The only reason why you can see your way in this mess right now because He's there, but you let Him get out beyond you, it'll be real dark. Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. So don't half-step it. Pace yourself with God so that you don't have to wander in the wilderness. Did you get that? Isn't that good? Say, if I don't half-step, when God's double-stepping, and usually under a double portion, it's a double step. Seriously, usually under a double portion of anointing, it's a double step. If you're sick and feeble, of course He's not going to walk you out. You know, when you're sick and feeble, He's not going to march you. When you didn't come out, you can barely see, you're famished. When you get all fattened up and healthy and you got good boots on and God's and bless you, he picks up the pace. Some people have been eating on the goodness of God for years, been blessed and blessed and blessed, you know, good shoes on their feet, and still walking with crutches and canes and expect God to be stupid enough to allow it. It's time to double step. Until all the generation, he said, listen, he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all the generation died. Either go to war until everybody makes it in, or hang in the wilderness until everybody makes it out. See them check in or watch each other check out. And that's what I see all the time. Do you see the difference? He said, listen, you better go over there until everybody comes into the promised land. And then you see everybody just stopping. They stop right there in the wilderness. And instead of watching them come into the what God wants them to have one by one, we're watching them check out. Another one bites the dust. And another one's gone. And another one's gone. Another one bites the dust. Watch them drop off or come in. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men. They ain't do nothing. He said an increase of sinful men. I mean, they weren't as Sodom and Gomorrah. Here he called the people sinful. Give them a break, Jesus. What did they do? They weren't cussing, drinking, smoking, and fighting and carrying on. And he says a generation of sinful men. They weren't murdering and doing, they didn't have no golden calves. All they wanted to do was stop. And Moses got all ticked off and said, you old sinful people. And they thought they were doing fine. He said, here they are, sinful people in God's eyes. And they said, if we have found grace in thy sight. And that shows you how lost people are. Don't you think you're going to get the grace of God when you're ready to camp out? Well, when are we going to, if we found grace in thy sight? To argument, yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. Numbers 32:15. For if you turn away after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness. Say, he did it before, and he'll do it again. Jesus the same yesterday and today and forevermore. If he ditched them back then, he'll ditch you today. You got to stay with it. He's not changed. He didn't soften up. It's the same God. It's the same God. They tell us that all the time. You got to walk in. If they had to walk in faith, you had to walk in faith. You better stay right with it. Start running your mouth and start complaining and starting a bunch of mess and see won't he ditch your behinds off in the wilderness someplace. No, brother, you can't even camp in the trunk. He'd get back there with the key out. I ain't going to let you ride in the trunk. I've seen him drop off. Poor Miriam had it going well with her, didn't she? Miriam, I mean, she was rolling. One week she was the worship leader, beating the tambourine and carrying on, after leading the people in worship. And she thought, I'm the worship leader, and I got myself all together. And she said, I'm going to just run my mouth a little bit. Who does Moses think he is? We've been sitting out here 140 years. We should have done this. I can hear God just like he can hear God. Who does he think he is? All this other stuff. Leprosy musician, wasn't she? Beating the tambourine with leprosy, couldn't nobody hear her. That was Moses' sister. People think, I'm close to the pastor. I can say whatever I want to say. She was the man's sister. Moses didn't do it. God did it. He said, now, for ye have turned away from him, he will yet leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. So they heard this little thing. They went with their little idea. They had picked up on themselves. They thought they'd just change it. God said, no, y'all go on over to the promised land. He said, no, we'll camp out halfway. They changed their mind. Go to verse 18. We will not return unto our houses, unto the children of Israel, until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. What? We ain't gonna cuddle up by the fire, hug each other, look at each other, look stupid, until everybody's got a fire to cuddle up by. And that attitude is sinful, wrong, and unrighteous. Because when we were in need, Jesus was in heaven. He had it made. He had everything he wanted. But he left the comforts of heaven so that we could enter in. And that same spirit needs to abide within us. God bless you, and you think you're something else. Easy come, easy go. It's the truth. He'll let you know where it came from. Until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance, for he will not inherit them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen unto us of this side eastward. 32 verse 20. And Moses said unto them, if you do this thing, and that thing, he said, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out whose enemies? Whose enemies? The Lord's enemies. From before him. Actually, God was saying, I'm going to talk this whole thing out. Actually, God was saying to them, listen, don't you dare come out by no fire. I got some enemies out there you're going to take down. There's some enemies that God has out there that he wants to use you to take down. And don't you dare try to act like you're in heaven. You're a warrior, amen? You can't go to Canada. You can't run to Canada. You can't run off to Europe. You can't enroll in college so you don't get a draft. Your number's been called. Period. Everybody gonna fight. Rich man, poor man. Everybody gonna fight. We got a little thing in here. We let this one go, that one go, but in God's eye, everybody goes to war. Somebody say, my number has been called. And the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterwards ye shall return and be guiltless. I'm going to get me a rubber guilty stamp. Start walking around town. People sitting there act like they're living in heaven. You know, and all this sin around the city. Guilty. I ain't guilty. They the ones that sinned. No, you're guilty because you have not subdued the land. And before Israel, and this land shall be a possession before the Lord. And if you will not do this, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. That means that you're supposed to be blessed so you can be a blessing to others. But if you forget the others, he said, be blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. But if you forget the other part, you're a sinner. You're in worse shape than before you got it. Somebody think it's all over. No, brother. You're a guilty. You get up out of that house in Jesus' name. Get your butt up out of that car. And if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure. That's the thing about people. They might not do some outward things that everybody else would think. They got you thinking that I'm perfect, I've got it all together. But the Bible says, surely your sins shall find you out. That's what you call the switch. That little light that he's been talking about, this little light of mine, we're going to let it shine. Surely your stuff going to find you out. Phony. So they got there, and he said, listen, if you don't do this, your stuff will find you out. It'll talk. He said, but thy servants will pass over. Thy servants will pass over every man armed for war before the Lord to battle, as saith the Lord. We're going to war in this city. We're going to war in this city because God said to go to war, and you don't go with me, your sin is going to find you out. God is going to see you through. But when you get through, don't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't pick up that same attitude everybody else has. Make sure that you bring somebody else with you. If you didn't bring anybody with you, you don't deserve to sit down in there. It's not a dog-eat-dog world. Ain't no dogs in heaven. You can go to heaven with class and with dignity. A liberal soul shall be watered. You don't have to knock nobody else off the line. It's not the Titanic. There's enough room on the boat for everybody. We got to pick up a new mentality and a new attitude. Some people got a big old ocean liner sitting up there all by himself. And man, you be out there drowning. You swim close to their boat. They're ready to blow your head off. It's all right to bless somebody. If you need help, help somebody else. If you need help, no matter where you are, help somebody else. Thank you, Jesus. If you need help, help somebody else. Because when you help somebody else, you're really helping yourself.